time this morning will be broke up into three sessions. I'm going to speak a little from the Word, and then we are going to watch a DVD, and then Philip is going to come and share with you on some of the exciting work that is happening in the Gideons in the last year or a little over. And so we really appreciate what is happening there. For those that really don't know who I am, I'm one of the old-time residents of Carcel. Being born here, I might even have the privilege of saying that I'm the oldest born in Carcel, but I'm not quite sure about that. It's pretty close, though. I farmed east of town here for some 30 years and then felt the Lord call us to some type of ministry, and we went out into Saskatchewan, my wife and I, and we worked for 5 years at a Bible school out there. We returned home to Carcel and built our own house, and I was in construction for several years. I have been a Gideon for over 20 years now and have enjoyed the ministry very much. I've got some great guys that I work with. Kevin Oak is another one of our Gideons. And also Jack Vandervalk, who is Gerald's father, is a Gideon for many years with us. Appreciate these men very much. I need to set the scene that our text is taken from today. So we need to look back in David's life a little bit. After David had been rejected by Saul, he fled to the mountains where he could hide. And over the years, about 600 fighting men, plus their wives and families and all, joined up with David, some with various reasons for wanting to be there. But under David's leadership, they formed an army that was never defeated. Saul, however, really hated David and feared him. And so he sought many times to try and kill him, even taking his army out to try and destroy him. And because David didn't want to confront Saul, knowing that Saul had been anointed by God, David fled to the Philistines in order to escape Saul. And the Philistine leader, Achish, gave David the city of Ziklag as his place of refuge, a place where he could leave his wives and his children when they went out to fight, with the understanding that David would fight with them when they went out to battle. Well, the Philistine armies gathered together for the purpose of going out to battle against the Israelites. And so David and his army went also. But there arose a distrust among the captains of the Philistines. We can't trust David. We know how strong he is, and he might turn upon us in battle and destroy us. And it's really quite strange, because it was the same song that turned Saul against David when he came back from battle one time, and the women went out to meet him, and they sang this song that Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. And that's the exact song that was heard among the Philistines and caused them to rise in fear against David. And so Achish had really no choice but to tell David to return back to Ziklag. And that is where we pick up the story at this point. And so, Father, I just pray that as we look at your word this morning, you might anoint it to our hearts. Give me ability to share the message that you have given me, that it might help people in their time of trouble. And Lord, that we would all grow in our love and desire to serve you. And this morning I want to look at two different reactions to the same disaster. If you were to arrive home and find that your house was all burnt and your family was all gone, I think you would call it a big disaster. And this is really what happened with David and his army. And so they went into mourning. And the Eastern cultures certainly have a much more dramatic way of mourning than what we do in the West here. And they're crying and weeping and throwing up dirt on themselves and just really going all out in their description of their sorrow that they are feeling is very loud. And so they carried this on until they were so tired that they couldn't even weep anymore. And it so often happens when disaster hits. The people who only think of themselves, it seems to bring out the worst in them. And I know none of us are guilty of it, that when things happen, we look for somebody to blame. There's always got to be somebody else's fault for the things that happen in our lives. And this was no different. The men of David became angry. And over in verse 22, I think we can see where some of the reason for that was, because it says there, but all the evil men and troublemakers among David's followers. So David didn't have all good guys following him either. They were humans, just like all the rest of us. And though many of us are in this church this morning, I'm sure we are not of all the same even temper or same thoughts. And so these men stirred up the people, and David happened to be the handy target. And so they even threatened to stone him. Mob reaction can really be uncontrollable. Riots have been known to not just destroy property, but also to kill innocent people. And it's not too long ago in my memory when we remember the riots that took place in the streets of Vancouver and the terrible things that happened there, and the courts are still not done with those things. It just seems like people just like to look for reasons to cause dissension and try to bring the majority of leadership down. I really had to kind of chuckle even here just right recently when our Prime Minister was given the opportunity to speak before the Calgary Stampede. And he made the very innocent statement that Calgary was the greatest city in the greatest country in the world. And you cannot believe the people that rose up against that. We certainly look for minute things so many times. And in my lifetime, being a farmer, I heard no end of things about how the East was always leading us and how the railroad ran uphill both ways, and there were a lot of things like that that we complain about. But when I study the scripture, I try to apply it to my life and the time that we live in. And in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, and I just want to read that, I think there's some advice given there that we really need to respond to. But here it says, I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we might live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. In our house, I blame it on the fact that we're maybe quite forgetful, and I don't think it's Alzheimer's, but it's close to it. Seems to take over in our lives. And we have found that we have to make lists of the people we want to pray for, because otherwise it becomes a prayer of me, mine, and ours. And we really aren't meeting the needs of the people around us. And so every morning before breakfast, we take this list and we pray through it. And one of the items on our list is our government. We pray for our government every day, and I really believe in this scripture in 1st and 2nd Timothy that we all should take this to heart. That it's a place where we really need to concentrate prayers upon as the government of our country. I don't need to look very far to see how our religious freedoms are being eroded every day. And I haven't got this directly, but I read it in the paper that even now for us as Gideons to go into our local school, we are going to have to send out letters of consent to the children to go home, whether we can give them a scripture in school. It's a thing that is right upon us. I would like to look at David's reaction now to this disaster, because it says here, but David found strength in the Lord his God, at the very end of verse 6. I think there's one thing that we need to realize. It says that he found strength in the Lord his God. So he had made God his Lord, not just his God that he went to for in time of need and these kind of problems, but he made him Lord over his life in all its aspects. And how did he do this? Well, David, as a young man, was a youth, a shepherd boy. And as he was out in the fields, he saw what his Creator had created. He saw the beauty, he saw the heavens, and he saw also that God had power over all of these things, including over man and animals. And so one day when a lion came and another day when a bear came, to attack his sheep, he called upon his God, and God gave him the strength to go out and literally kill these animals with his bare hands. In order to do that, you have to have fellowship with your God. And so when David met up with Goliath and the many other battles they won, they were no different. He really recognized where his power and authority came from, that it was a gift from God. But he could only have that through fellowship. And so God was his friend, and he was his helper. He was his comforter, and he was his guide. And that's the reason that David found strength in his Lord. Now, David could have been even worse off than what his fellow men were, because if we look back in David's life, we find that his brothers showed him scorn. Saul rejected him and turned against him. And he even gave David's wife, Michal, to another man. And he often tried to kill David by hunting him with his army. And so now, after marching out to battle with the Philistines, only to be sent home because of lack of trust, to find that his wives and his men's wives and children and all their possessions were gone, David could have been really a wreck as we would see it today. And I'm sure that he would have been in line for several good counseling sessions at least, or maybe even a government program to look after him for the rest of his life. But that wasn't David. David walked in fellowship with our God. How do we respond when upsets and lies come our way? Sickness, financial disaster, hailstorms, job losses, death, and the list can go on and on. How does the world respond? Well, it's much like David's men. We look for someone to blame. It's government, it's Medicare, it's waiting time for surgery, or it's medical appointments. We feel that we have the right to immediate help. Doctors are supposed to have a cure for whatever ails me. A pill or a government program or something that will immediately get me out of my problem today. And as Christians, I feel that we respond much in the same way unless we have real close fellowship with our God. He needs to be our friend, the one who we immediately go to in times of trouble. And this time of friendship can only be experienced through daily fellowship, reading of His Word, prayer, and quiet times with Him. I mentioned before that I farmed and then that we went out to the Bible school, and I was often asked, did you miss farming? No, I didn't miss farming, but I certainly missed my time on the tractor, because that was my quiet time with the Lord. I had scripture tapes that I listened to, and I heard the Bible being read to me. I was free to pray and not be disturbed, to sing praises to my God, and as good as on the tractor, and to just meditate upon God, His goodness and His love and His power and His Word, and how I could serve Him. And so I felt that I really had a close fellowship with my God during those days. It's not been so easy to maintain that type of fellowship in this day and age. The world just seems to be going so fast. We have so many voices that call us. Yes, even the many help programs that destroy our dependency upon God. We expect to be bailed out by doctors and pills and government financial help. And in our lives, when things go wrong, they should become growing times, times to learn to trust. God really is in control of all things, even when the immediate help or answers to prayer seem to reach no higher than the ceiling. God is still listening. He's still there, and He's still working things out that He might be glorified in our lives, and that we should grow in knowledge and trust of Him. In verse 7, David took the only action that he knew how to do. He called the priest and asked for him to bring the ephod. And I don't know, I looked up what I could find about that, and it was a garment, the best type garment that the priest wore. The Bible doesn't tell us how David used it. We don't know whether he put it on, whether he just had it folded and knelt in front of it and prayed there. But I am convinced that when David had that ephod in his hands, it did something for him that Jesus tried to teach us in Matthew 6:6, where He said, when you want to meet with your Father, enter into your closet. And when you have shut the door, then pray to your Father, who hears in secret and will reward you openly. And I feel that David, when he had that garment in his hands, could shut out the world. It was his closet. It was his time when he could worship his Father as well as hear Him speak to him. And that's how he was able to hear and know that God gave him assurance that they would be able to go out and win this battle and bring back their wives and their children. And really, it was quite a battle, too, if we look at it, because before they got there, they came to a raven, and he had 600 men to start with. He had to leave 200 there because they were too tired to cross to the raven, so he went on with 400. It doesn't tell us how many Amalekites were there, but it says that there were 400 young men who escaped on camels, and David killed all the rest of them. Well, if there were 400 young men, I'm sure there were 1,200 at least soldiers that 400 men fought against. With God, all things are possible if we just put our trust in Him. At this time, I would like to have the DVD, please. And then Philip is going to come and talk to you. Philip has been with the Gideons for, what, about 10 years now? I much appreciated him and the work that he does and his trust in there. Last summer when I spoke, and it was kind of for the same reason as this, they needed a speaker, and I called upon the Gideons, and seeing as we were just out in Champion last week, they said, he's ready, we get him. But anyway, there have really been exciting things happen. And Philip is going to come and share some of those things with you. But for tax purposes, we are now the Gideons International by ourselves. And I think it's been a great stretching and blessing time in our ministry. And I see nothing but good that is going to happen. Okay, Karen.
Can you imagine the Christian church without a Bible, without the Word of God? I know at home we just, it's unthinkable.
The church in Ethiopia, one of the oldest in the world, is today in the midst of a great rebirth. Churches are growing quickly, and they're making evangelism their priority. But this growth comes with challenges. They need God's Word more than ever.
When you think about Ethiopia, you think about the spread of the gospel. They tell us over 20% of the people in Ethiopia are Christians, born-again Christians. And they're so full of passion. 100, 200, 300 people show up. Could be in a regular church building. It could be in a makeshift tent. Could be under a tree. Could be under a tarpaulin. The family of God is meeting there, and the gospel is being preached. Wow.
Local missionaries take it upon themselves and travel village by village on foot, bicycle, or donkey, sometimes risking their own lives, like Hailu Ganamo or Tolosa.
I travel around the rural areas to day and night to preach the gospel. I was beaten as I was going to the plant churches in this community. I was physically beaten by people. And I'm one person trying to meet the needs, the spiritual needs of 1,000 people.
In many villages, they gather together and celebrate their faith in ever-increasing numbers. Yet only 2% of all Christians in Ethiopia have Bibles. The longing and plea for more Bibles are being heard loud and clear. The church needs God's living Word, so believers can grow deeper and stronger in their faith.
When I looked over the crowd, we asked, how many Bibles do you have? And out of a crowd of 200 or 300, the most I saw was two, mostly one. There's just simply a lack of the Word of God.
May I show you a person that is changed by the Word of God? It's me. My life was completely transformed or changed by the Word of God, my dear friend. When I read the Bible, the Holy Spirit, you know, conveys the message of the Bible to my inner man. Don't tell me how, I don't know. I become completely touched. Now I am a pastor, coordinating more than 145 missionaries.
We're challenged while we're there when we talked about the Word of God. 2 years ago, a team went to this village and made promises. No Bible showed up. The next year, another team came, made the same promises. We're going to distribute the Word of God. No Bibles came. We were the third team. And they looked at us, and they wondered, are these guys giving us the real deal? Are they men of their word? Will they come through with their promise? They desire the Word of God.
We have over 300 members in our congregation, and there are only four people maximum that have Bibles.
We need Bible. That's our crucial problem. That is our pressing need.
And everyone is asking for Bibles.
All over the world, people are asking and waiting for Bibles in Ethiopia and beyond. They are hungry for the Word of God so they can grow as believers and then reach their nations and communities for Christ.
We were there. We were there to hear, see, and to feel, and to sense their heart's cry. And we just need to respond.
The Gideons International in Canada is actively engaged in sharing God's Word with people all over the world. Will you partner with us in this incredible journey? For only $30 a month, you can help us provide 10 people with their own copy of God's Word. Your monthly sponsorship as a Bible partner helps us bring scriptures to those hard-to-reach places, equip developing churches with God's teaching, and introduce Jesus to people for the first time. Partner with us. Share God's Word with the world.
How many Bibles do you have? Quite a few. Look at the pew in front of you. It's probably got a few down below your feet there. If you're like me, you've got one in your truck, one on your bed, beside your bed, a few in the bookcase, a few of old King James big thick ones that your great grandpa gave you that's probably in German or something. We are flooded with Bibles in our culture. Having Bibles where we are isn't a problem for most of us because we have access to them. Our problem that we have in the North American church is that we don't read it. And one of the purposes for the Gideons is to distribute Bibles to all those that want them. We distribute Bibles in over 150 countries in over 50 different languages. We distribute about 3 Bibles every second of every minute of every day, 24/7, 365 days of the year. We deliver a lot of Bibles around the world. But here in North America, there's Bibles everywhere. Our problem is, like you say, we don't need it. And one of the purposes of the Gideons is to encourage us to read our Bible. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful." Depending on which version you read it, it says it's like a two-edged sword. It separates bone from arrow. Separate soul from spirit. And we encourage all those to read. One thing, there's been, for every great revival that's happened in the church throughout history, two things have kind of been predominant to those revivals. One thing has been that God's people have actually started to be honest before God. The second thing is that God's people have actually started to read what God's word has said. And that's what we as Gideons try to do. We try to distribute that word, and we try to encourage those to read it. As you said, I saw in the video here, the Ethiopian leader said, "When I read the Bible, the Holy Spirit conveys the message of the Bible to my inner man. Don't tell me how. It just does. You cannot read God's word honestly and not have an effect on you profoundly." The Gideons, like Galvin mentioned, we've now become the Canadian Gideons. So we're doing more projects just us Canadians. We're still very much affiliated with Gideons Worldwide, but we are doing more projects individually now as Canadians. One of the projects that we just did was in Bolivia. We distributed 100,000 Bibles. These are all Canadians, all smucks like me and you. We're all working guys. There's no pastors in our group. They're just all working guys that feel that everybody needs a Bible. So we distributed 100,000 Bibles lately in Bolivia. We distributed, that's all in Spanish. We also distributed 10,000 Bibles in Ho German, which is they have a large Mennonite population, actually in Bolivia as well, similar to the Mexican Mennonite that we have up here. So we distributed 10,000 copies of the Bible in Ho German to them. We've got ongoing projects. One that's coming up in the Philippines. We hope to do a great Bible blitz there. Let's see, we distributed, most of us, you know, that we got a grade 5, the little pocket version, the grade 5 version, grade 5, you got a little pocket version we distributed to the hotels. If you're in a hotel, of course, you see our Bible there. We distributed to nurses, policemen, RCMP. They all get a special Bible that we also distribute to them. We can distribute a Bible anywhere in the world for about $3 per Bible. And that prints the Bible and distributes it in any language, any part of the world for about $3. And when you donate to the Gideons, every cent of that dollar goes to printing of that Bible. None of it goes to administration. All the administration costs that we as Gideons have is covered by the Gideon members, the sponsor like me. So if you donate, when you make a donation to the Gideons, 100% of that goes to printing Bibles. So none of that goes to that goes to administration costs at all. If you saw when you're coming in, we have a little booth out front there. We have greeting cards and sympathy cards and all kinds of different cards that are out there in the front. Those cards are free, so please take them. If you have somebody that has a birthday coming up, the birthday card's out there, please take a card. Inside the card is an envelope that you can make a donation. Instead of sending somebody maybe some flowers or maybe a kid a toy that he kind of throw away or get destroyed, like that are going to get buried in a few months or years, you can make a donation for a Bible that's going to go into somebody's hands that really needs it. It's on the video here. Can you imagine us as a church having only 4 Bibles, maybe? Only 1 inch of Bible. Can you imagine that? Haven't shared that around. The pressing need for most of the world is if they don't have Bibles. They need them. And like I say, even though we're printing out 3 Bibles every second, we aren't coming close to the need of what the need that is out there. And that kind of boggles your mind. But the world is getting big right now, and it's getting bigger. We're going 6 billion going to 7, going to 9 billion. That's a lot of millions, which is a lot of thousands, which is a lot of Bibles to give out. Okay, so we need your support. Thank you for the church for supporting us, and we appreciate that. We're also looking for new members, ladies and men that are willing to become Gideons. We're always looking for new members. We need some lady members because we don't have any right now, so we're looking for some ladies that would like to join our Gideons. We have some great Bible studies that go on once a month in different members' houses, and the Bible distributions and all the other work that we do, I think it would be great benefits. It's all you would want to join. Your offering envelope, we're distributing in the offering that we're going to be coming forward, I guess, with. There is Gideon's envelopes that you can take with you, and you can write a donation there. If not, you can just put a regular check or whatever out to the Gideon. And that's fine too. The church will make sure it gets to the Gideons. Like I say, we thank the church for giving us this time, and we we hope you continue this work with Gideon's now and in the future. So, thank you very much.
Something that I would just like to further mention to Philip did, and I appreciate what he did very well. And of those 110,000 scriptures that gave him over in Bolivia, there were 25,000 verbal commitments to Christ made. Another situation where he went in Peru, we gave him 11,000 or 12,000 Bibles. And there were well over 1,200 that made commitments to Christ. God is working in this country, and He is blessing us in that. Part of the top of what you're paying for your buck, I believe we are really receiving results. And all these people that have gone over to make these distributions, pay their own way. Uses the mission outreach as far as they're concerned. So we are very, very happy.